Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up this hour, another By Request flashback. We read your email and we put your requested flashback on the air, a bit from one of our previous shows. You can email us at phs@philhendryshow.com. Mark Blocky is with us from the organization Democrats for Truth. Well, you'll hear Mark. I won't tell you what his point of view is. It's pretty warped. And Bible Bill Van Boning with a Bible passages. This hour, and also mandatory karaoke coming up. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff, go ahead. Jeff?
Hello?
Yeah, Jeff, how you doing?
Oh, hey, Phil, how you doing? I really want to say that I love your program very much.
Thank you.
I was calling in to address a question that had been on your program previously about skunk odors and how they're removed.
Well, somebody had called last hour.
Well, I had an experience with it. I was up. I basically live at Mint Canyon, which is up in the San Clarita area, and I was driving. I had a Dodge, 67 Dodge Charger at the time. This is about a year ago, and I was driving down Mint Canyon Road, coming up out of the canyon area, and I saw at the time, I did see, and I will say that it was probably not right, but I saw a group of, like, magpies were out on the road, so I swerved my Dodge to run them over and crush them, and it's probably not good, but at the time, I didn't see that the magpies swarmed around a skunk, and
The skunk was out on the road?
Yes, sir, the skunk was at that time out on the highway, so I swerved it.
So you swerved your car to run over some magpies?
Yeah, it's pretty wrecked, but I must say it's wrong of me, but it's something I felt it would be good to do to crush them. Anyway, I tried to run over these magpies, and I didn't see at the time there's a skunk in the middle of them out on the highway, Mint Canyon. Fortunately for me, there was not a lot of vehicle traffic on the Mint Canyon main thoroughfare there, so I ran over the magpies, but what happened was I hit the skunk too, and the skunk hit, the first thing it hit was my oil pan, and then apparently it bounced off the pavement and then bounced up into the engine compartment, hit the one side of the engine block, and then hit the fan. Now
it hit the fan with a fan belt?
Yeah, it hit the fan in front of the radiator. So the skunk bounces. I ran it over. This is what I'm theorizing after the fact. When I hit the skunk, it hit the bottom, hit the oil pan, came up, ricocheted off the engine block, and then the worst thing, I just want to let your listeners know, the worst thing that would ever happen should you encounter a skunk is for it to hit the fan, because now it blew the skunk's aromas back into the main, where I was sitting, into the car.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And because the skunk, as soon as it got hit, it's you know, angry. Okay, who hit me? So it's immediately squirting out skunk aromas. And, you know, so now it bounded up. Now it hits the fan. And so the skunk's stink started to waft back. And I'm sitting there in the middle of, I mean, you were there, Rudy. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the middle of skunk hell. It's just all in the car.
I mean, the whole interior of your car smells like skunk.
Oh, it's totally immersed in skunks, in skunk stench. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, this is totally wrecked. So I knew there was a steam cleaner. I've been down to Santa Clarita steam cleaner. Are you familiar with it, Mr. Henry?
No, I am not.
Okay, there is a steam cleaner, so I got to make it to the steam cleaner. I'm holding my jacket over my nose. I took my jacket off and just pressed it up into my face, and I almost ran off the road because I couldn't see the road because the jacket was all squished up in my face. Anyway, I got it down to Santa Clarita steam clean, and I told the dude at the time, I go, okay, I got to get skunk out. There's all kind of skunk in here. You know?
Yeah.
And he just says, dude, I'm smelling skunk butt. Park it two blocks down. And I'm like, what's that about? Because I came, he goes, fine, we'll deal with it, but you've got to park it two blocks down because it's just, it's nothing but skunk ass, excuse my language, but skunk ass. So,
all right, so you had to park it two blocks down. So what's the story here?
Well, what I found out was the guy down at Santa Clarita Steam Clean said, okay, we'll steam clean the skunk smells out of your car, but in the future, all you have to do to get skunk aroma out is tomato juice, okay? And so I said, well, forget that. I ain't spending $60 on that. So I went over to the Vons, and I got, well, first I got V8, which is not really, that was not right. And
well, what did you do, man? You took cans of V8 or tomato juice and did what?
Well, you wiped down the interior of your car with, you're supposed to wipe it down with tomato juice. At first I got V8, and somebody messed up, I got cranberry juice. It took me like a day before I was able to...
Well, can't you see tomato juice on the can?
Well, yeah, but I had V8 at the house. So anyway, I went down, I got it, and by this time my car is just, the skunk hit the fan, just it smells like skunk butt. So I did get the tomato juice. I wiped down the interior of the car, and as you can well imagine, makes the car smell like a tomato that came out of a skunk's ass. So I'm just...
Okay, thanks very much.
No, I'm serious, Mr. Hinton.
No, thanks very much.
No, I'm serious, Mr.
The interior of my car smells like a tomato that came out of a skunk's. 1-800-449-86. Sir, I heard your story.
No, I'm just telling you, I sealed the door shut and filled it with tomato juice. That's that kind of work, but not really, is all I'm saying. I pumped it in. I had my friend of mine works for a concrete pumping company, and we got a concrete pump, and we went down here to Raleigh Concrete and emptied out the cement and filled it with tomato juice, and then I pumped it in my car, and the skunk, but like I said, it smelled like a tomato. Okay, I'm sorry what I said, but it smelled like a tomato that had just been popped right out of a skunk's butt area, and I don't know why you hung up on me, but...
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. This is why I don't like doing, and here's today's remedy for a problem. It's like last week, I mentioned Fatty Arbuckle. Do you know how many emails I got on Fatty Arbuckle? I didn't get my facts right about Fatty Arbuckle, but I read some of the emails. He wasn't guilty. He was innocent. Oh, I get some real nasty email. Hey, how dare you say what you said about Mr. Arbuckle? You know what I'm saying? You can't win at this gig. Okay, excuse me. Well, get your facts straight. Oh, okay. Like in other words, there are some shows out there that get their facts straight, huh? Do you really think there are? Do you really honestly believe there's a radio or TV show anywhere that gets its facts straight? It's up to you to find the information. I'm not talking about all of you guys, just you knuckleheads that email me with all your angst about Fatty freaking Arbuckle. Who cares? The guy was innocent. Hey, you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at the people who wouldn't let him work anymore, even though it wasn't his, you know, he didn't do anything wrong, other than the fact that he used a champagne bottle on a woman. But what's that between friends? Oh, I guess he didn't do that either, huh? Some guy wrote in and said, yeah, apparently she got a ruptured spleen because he was so fat, when he's laying on her, it just popped everything inside. Maybe that's the same guy that called up with the skunk smell recipe. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, your by request flashback next on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up is our flashback by request. But just a closing thought on skunks. I'll never forget one night, I was 16 years old, and I'm walking home from a friend's house who lived in just on the border of Pasadena, and I was walking back to my house in Arcadia. It's out in the San Gabriel Valley here in the Los Angeles County area. And it's late at night, you know, you're 16 and you're out past curfew and you're all messed up. And so anyway, there I was, and I didn't have a car, and back in the day you could hitchhike. We used to hitchhike all the time. You don't see kids hitchhike anymore. This is back in the hippie days. So anyway, I figured I'd get out on Huntington. I hitchhike home. Now it's about 11, 12 o'clock at night. I'm walking across this enormous vacant lot to get from my friend's street down to Huntington Drive. Otherwise, I got to walk a full quarter of a mile around these streets to get down to Huntington. Well, I'll cut to this vacant lot. I'm walking through this vacant lot, and I see this little animal suddenly come right out in the road that I was walking down facing me. And when I took a step forward, this little bastard took a step forward. And then I took another step forward, and this little bastard, it was a skunk. And apparently I was walking near its den. That's the only time an animal is going to challenge a human being. It's got to be a female animal with some little tiny skunk-like. And I just turned right around, and I walked like a mile out of my way. Man, I didn't want any part of that skunk. And I wasn't even thinking about the skunk stench, as Jeff would say. I was thinking about rabies, the thing. What if it, you know, I don't know.
It could leap up and claw your face.
Well, I wasn't worried about that, man, but biting me.
No, what if it just leapt and attached itself to your face?
What?
Yeah, this is skunk just, like, just all covering up your face.
But I got a gump 6 feet tall, man. How kind of skunk is a flying skunk?
Do they have them?
I've never heard of a flying skunk in my life. What an idiot.
Then, not only that, it'll leap up, hit your face, and then whip you with its tail. And all the while, you're getting skunk stench. And if it would have jumped on your head, you'd look like Davy Crockett. That's the only good part.
You know, sometimes I don't know when you're kidding, man.
I'm not kidding. You get bitch slapped by a skunk. That's messed up.
God, are you weird, man. Yeah, the good part is I'd look like Davy Crockett with his hat on backwards, huh? If it's whipping my face with its tail.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. All right, anyway, it's time. Why did I bring it up? Time now for our flashback request. This is from Jeff. Hey, Phil, when you were talking about dancing to I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor the other night, it reminded me of a bit you did earlier this year where Steve Bozell ran out onto the dance floor at a wedding to dance to the song, complete with fan kicks. It wasn't until someone called out, "Hey, Steve, who dumped you?" that he realized he was on the floor alone with a bunch of women. Of course, then he wanted to sue the publishing company and the National Organization for Women for putting out a song that excluded men from dancing to it by making those who did out to be gay blades. Anyway, here's Jeff, or what's his name again?
Bozell.
Steve Bozell and his fan kicks to I Will Survive.
My point is that I think my man needs to get a pair. And you know what I mean by that, right? And he's
get a pair. I've got my pair, but if the women have their...
Because you need to have some confidence in your male sexuality. I have confidence in mine. I know if I go out, I love this song. I've danced to it 1,000 times. And if somebody calls me gay, then so what? I'm confident in myself that I know I'm not gay.
But what about the
aspect? I'm confident in my male sexuality that I don't have to worry about that.
By the way, Gary, it says you're calling from Knoxville. Steve, you're from Knoxville, right?
Yes, sir, I am originally. Whereabouts in Knoxville are you from, sir?
I'm just outside of Knoxville, really a small town.
Yes, sir. Look. Yeah, okay, so they call you gay. What about the aspect of this song that tells women to rise up and slit our throats from ear to ear?
I've never heard that part in the song about rising up and slitting our throats from ear to ear.
Well, if you've ever seen a group of women dancing to this song, it looks like they're waving imaginary machetes in the air.
I think you're trying to read too much into the song.
No kidding,
I mean,
man.
It's a great song. Enjoy the song for what it's worth.
It's a very positive song.
And if you want to dance to it, go out and dance to it, but have confidence in yourself and in your male sexuality that you're a man.
Well,
you're looking at it like you're worried about what people are thinking and what a woman's got to say about it. The heck with them.
Well, there's two things that worry me, Gary. First, when I do dance to this song, people think I'm some kind of a gay blade. And because I like to do fan kicks and a full layout.
If you're not gay, then what difference does it make?
Well,
you're worried about being gay. Are you gay?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm married. I got two fine children.
Don't worry about what people are thinking about you then.
The other thing that worries me about the song is when I go out on the dance floor and I dance to it, I look at the eyes of the women around me and they're blood red.
Hey, if I go out on the dance floor and women are dancing by themselves, I'm gonna go out there. I'm gonna get right in the middle of them and dance with them.
All right, Gary.
That's great, Gary. And when you walk away from those women and go sit down and have another sip in your beer, check downstairs because I think something's going to be missing.
All right, Gary. Anyway, thank you for your call, man. Look at their eyes. They're blood red.
Yeah, go ahead and laugh at me. You'll see what I mean.
And good evening. My name is Bible Bill Van Boning, and this is Bible Passages. I believe in miracles, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe that in the Bible can be found all of the truths that can be restorative to man and woman on this planet, in this world. I'm Bible Bill Van Boning, and this is Bible Passages.
From the Church of the Deification in Tempe, Arizona, it's Bible Bill Van Boning with Art Cluster and the Cluster Cordettes and the Bill Van Boning Volunteers manning the telephones.
Thank you and welcome to Bible Passages. I'm Bill Van Boning. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were there in the full nakedness of God's creation. Nude. Nude. One can well imagine them in the paradise that God had created. The kind of activity that Adam and Eve would engage in. Unrestrained by sin, created in their innocence, loving the Lord that they did, nude, no clothing at all, no fig leaf as we see on the statue of David, no loincloth as we see on the natives, the Stone Age civilizations, nude and not worried about their nakedness at all. They knew no shame. They were free to engage each other in the full aspect of their sexuality. That's right. No clothes at all. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you appreciate, doesn't it? The beauty of the paradise that God had put them in. They were nude. And they didn't have to wear any clothes. I don't know about you, but I go outside with no clothes on. Brother, you better lock me up because I'm out of my mind. Aren't I? You go outside of the house without your clothes on, you're a mental case who should be locked away for the rest of your life as a menace to society because you are out of your mind naked. You ever have a dream about me? But they were naked. That means that Adam could see all that she had going on. She could see everything that Adam had going on. The two of them could look at each other, and it wasn't even a sin. That's right, didn't have to pay $5 to take a plastic wrap off of it, did you? No, you didn't. You could take a look at her and go, yeah, uh-huh, that's right, that's right, that's what I like. And that's one of the reasons why God blemished a man with the modesty. So now every time I take a look at a pair, I gotta pay for it. $5 for a hustler, $6 swank via the overseas mail. And this is the kind of thing that brought down God's wrath upon a man, because we couldn't just appreciate the fact. You get up in the morning, you take a look at your wife, and she ain't got no clothes on, and she's good to look at. Oh, yeah. I'll take your phone calls now here on Bible Bill Van Boning.
Hi, Bible Bill. What does it mean in the Bible when it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife?
Well, let me tell you. Coveting your neighbor's wife is a sin. You're not supposed to do it. You're not supposed to take a look at her and go, man, I could use some of that. A lot of us men, though we are lustful, we may be. We are human. But you're not supposed to look at another man's wife and go, oh, yeah, 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 make a man's hands sweat. You're not supposed to do that. God says that's a sin. Now, take, for instance, my next-door neighbor, Bill and Julie Purdy. Bill's in the real estate business. He leaves her at home every day. She's wearing them skin-tight purple pants with the big high heels. She recently had what we would call a reconstructive, enhancement surgery. It's a sin of pride. That's right, you're not supposed to look at yourself and say, oh, know I'm imperfect. I need to make myself better. But I'll tell you something right now. When she walked down the driveway to get the L.A. Times, I'm taking a look at her. She got on a tight halter. She got her hair all done up, big Southern style, big hair, and a big, big, big potential there. I'm not supposed to think the thoughts I'm thinking. I'm thinking some vile, dirty, filthy thoughts. I burn in hell were not for the fact that I'm on television raising money for God. If I wasn't on TV, my God, I'd probably burn right now. But God appreciates the fact that I'm on here lying to you. I'm lying, and I will tell you for a moment.
We're all out of time for Bill Van Boning. He'll just keep going on like this, and then tomorrow we'll just turn the microphone on and he'll still be talking. From the Church of the Deification in Tempe, Arizona, this has been Bible Bill Van Boning. Hey, Bible Bill, how big was the serpent?
Don't get me started.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The other day I was listening. By the way, coming up we will have something, I don't know why, but Bud Dickman and David Hall want to use Dan Rather, the new CBS multi-anchor approach. They want to try that on this show. Am I hearing that right?
Mr. Hall will explain it to you.
Well, can you give me a little insight, Bud, since you talked to him?
Mr. Hall will explain it to you.
Oh, is that right? So you're sort of the gatekeeper?
Mr. Hall, I'll explain it to you.
Well, okay. You tell him you did your job, okay?
Mr. Hall, ow.
I don't need you to keep saying that. I heard the other day I was talking with someone, I think it was a principal with our company here, Premier Radio Networks, and they said, well, you know, a lot of stations are going to the progressive sound. I said, what is that? He says, Air America. And I said to him, the only progressive Air America stations out there are the ones that carry my show. Don't start playing that, hey man, it's the late 60s, and instead of progressive rock, we now have progressive talk, and it's Air America? Yeah, if you got my show on, if you're an Air America station carrying my show, you're progressive. And I'm not trying to say anything other than this. There ain't nothing on Air America that's all that progressive. It's just a bunch of guys blathering on, and they've got this kind of fixed political point of view. If you don't have it, you get fired. I mean, I don't see what's so progressive about that. It's like every other radio station. You don't say the right stuff, you get canned. Now, you got my show on your station, now you're progressive. We got an Air America affiliate in Denver. They are progressive. Because look, man, this show's unique. Otherwise, what do you got? You got Al Franken and Janine Garofalo, and what are they doing other than just blathering on with their jackball point of view about how they don't dig Bush? Then there's another guy, you know, they do dig Bush, and whatever, man. It sounds like the same old to me. However, as I said, carry our station, carry our show, then you got a progressive, at least you got part of your station's progressive. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe that. You know, we've been on the air doing this for like 15 years. Why did I think of that? I would have loved to have just called this
Progressive Radio, Phil Hendry.
But instead, what did I do, bud? I just,
Yeah, you call it world famous, something lame like that.
All right, so what's this thing? Is David on the line? Is he there?
I'm going to call him up.
Well, thanks a lot, man. You know, it's nice to have this things going the way they're supposed to be going.
I got him on the phone now.
David, I wanted to ask you what this is all about in terms of...
Well, it's an idea that we've got. We were inspired by CBS. They're going to go with a multi-anchor approach, meaning instead of having one guy, they're going to have, I don't know, five or six guys. So what I want to do is use a sort of an aspect of that. When you go on vacation, So I'd like to try it out. I want to use multi-anchors for when you're on, multi-hosts for when you're on vacation.
Well, how would that work?
Well,
what is that? I mean, you're delivering the news is one thing. I'm doing a talk show.
Well, you start a thought, and then the other guy finishes it. Or you begin a thought, and then host number two does the middle part, and then the last host...
What?
Don't argue with me. I want to try it out right now, if you don't mind.
I'm in the middle of my show.
I know you're in the middle of your show. I've been listening to it. This is going to help, believe me.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Another vote of confidence, huh?
Just do what I'm telling you. Now, Bud, you got the material there?
Yeah, I got it here, Mr. Hall.
Okay, so you'll start the thought, Phil, and then Bud will finish it.
Oh, now, wait just a minute. Hold on.
What?
Why Bud?
I want to give the kid a shot.
Mr. Hall said, give me a shot.
Wait a minute, David. You can't use this show, a show that I've worked my rear end off to build, and put that nut on the air, are you?
Hey, wait just a minute. That kid's retarded. You can't talk to him, talk about him like that. You'll be in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. He could sue you for racism.
That's right, you racist.
Racism, huh? Look, all I'm saying is, if you want to do multiple hosts, that's fine. Why him?
I want to try it out with him. Now, you start the thought. Tell him what the topic is, Bud.
Come on, Dave.
I said let's do it, okay? I don't have the time to argue with you. My bowling league starts in about 5 minutes. Now, let's just do it.
Your bowling league.
Yeah, that's right. Some of us get exercise. Go ahead, Bud. What's the topic?
Yeah, the topic is relief for the tsunami victims.
Are you kidding me?
Now, wait a minute, Phil. This is important stuff. Now, let's do it.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
You start, then Bud will pick it up.
See, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
So, in other words, in this new multiple host format, you got three guys sitting in there. It's like a man with three heads.
Don't get smart with me.
Okay. What do you want me to do?
Start off. What do you think about the aid relief for the tsunami victims? Come on! We're burning daylight here, man. You got the people are listening.
Okay. Aid relief for... And then is Bud gonna...
Then Bud will finish the thought out, yeah. And then you'll take phone calls.
It's like...
Will you just do what I'm telling you to do?
Just what he does, Mr. Hawley. Always argues.
Oh, I'm gonna kill this. All right.
Ready?
Tsunami aid relief, I think, has been very slow, but that is to be expected.
I think it's been good.
What the hell is that about?
He finished your thought.
Completely disagreed with what I said. He didn't even know he's going to come in. Don't I get a little heads up?
What do you mean a heads up? You're supposed to. It's synergy, man. It's simpatico.
Yeah, it's serendipity.
Serendipity. I bet you don't even know what that means.
Come on, let's do it again. Do it better.
Well, what am I supposed to do? I started out saying I thought the tsunami relief was slow, and he comes in, and he says he thinks it's good.
Because you changed your mind.
What do you mean I changed my mind?
You, that's the one unit. You and Bud. Phil Bud.
What are we talking about, man? Are we having three hosts here, or am I some kind of a hydra? Now,
just do it.
I thought tsunami relief... was good. I think the world came to everybody's rescue.
Could have been faster, and that's my opinion.
What's the matter?
Are you trying to tell me this is going to work?
I think it's time that we got to smooth it out, but it ain't bad.
And, as long as you got the right opinion, I can finish it out.
Oh, I see.
Look, what do you think of this? The Phil Dickman Show.
Man, I'm going to smack somebody.
Wait a minute. Don't you threaten me. I'm a vice president. Come on, let's do it again, Bud. What's the next topic?
Oh, come on, will you?
No, let's do one more.
Come on.
Let's do one more.
All right, next topic on the Bud Hendry Show.
Don't you call me Bud Hendry. What is it?
It's steroid use in the baseball.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong?
Steroid use in the baseball.
You know the guy's got a metal plate in his head. What's wrong with you?
All right, steroid use in baseball. Personally, I think that it's one of those topics that...
It's wrong!
Do you gotta yell it out, man?
It's finishing the thought.
What do you mean he's finishing the freaking thought? It's wrong!
Well, you're bumbling along, but...
Yeah, I want you to get to it.
Oh, okay, Mr. Michael Jackson, thank you. Mr. Bob Grant. Steroid use in baseball, in my opinion, like in other sports, is a fact of life. We have all kinds of chemicals that enhance the body, both of them natural and, I suppose, synthetic. And
I think you should not use them.
What a jackass.
Oh, I see. So your opinion's great, but Bud sucks.
Well, wait a minute.
What do you think of this? The Buddy and Philip Show, weeknight, 7 to 10.
I know you're kidding now.
Not really.
Yeah, well, let me ask some. If I start out with, I think steroid use is really good, and he comes...
Well, it's a different point of view. That's the whole thing about multiple hosts. You start out with a guy, and then another guy comes in, and they both sound like different guys, because they are different guys.
Well, what's the audience going to take from that? I think steroid use is a...
Oh, are you trying to say your thoughts were thoughtful, and Bud's a retard?
That's what he always says. Well, no, he says a retard. A guy comes in with...
Well, you don't like him yelling?
And it's not that. It's just that...
You don't like his opinion.
That's...
See, that's what makes the world go round, baby. That's what makes a horse race. Different opinions. Try one more. Bud, what's the next topic?
Our next topic is underwear. Different underwears.
What is that supposed to mean?
It's sort of something for the ladies. What kind of boxers you wear?
None of your business.
Well, look, do you wear them Jerry Garcia ones with the hearts?
None of your business.
Valentine's Day is coming up. What would you like Maria to give you?
I would like Maria to give me...
A jock strap!
See, and then he closes out with, this is the Bud Hendry Show.
I don't like it, man. I think it's stupid.
What about the world according to Big Bud and Little Phil? Weeknights.
Thanks a lot. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Oh, love songs with Bob behind the scenes coming up on the Phil Hendry Show. A visit from Mark Blocky, Democrats for Truth, and Earl Pants Car Talk.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I got email that we can probably go through. I've been through... We get a lot of email, and I've taken on the job of editing most of it myself, and I think maybe we can do a mailbag tonight. You don't have to go and look for the mail right now, Chris, but maybe we can send Genius here when he's not, you know, practicing for his co-hosting job.
It's not co-hosting. It's finishing out a thought.
Go get me some email and shut up.
Retard.
But we might do a mailbag tonight. Our number 1-800-449-8686. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. And our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. We take requests, by the way, for flashbacks at our email address if you'd like. And no more Fatty Arbuckle CDs or, emails, please, in the name of everything holy, for God's sake. I got all of those, and let's see what else. I got, just any little comment that you make. The point that I'm trying to say here is it's fine, and I really do appreciate the email. But just because I get something wrong doesn't mean I'm being malicious. I'm not attempting to. If I say, for instance, the sun, it was a little cloudy yesterday. Oh, bitching about the weather, are you? Oh, I mean, come on. So there's nothing really to that, you know. I would like to say... Because the second most emailed topic is, how are you and Maria? No, really. Come on, Phil. You can tell me. I stalk my wife, have been for the last 5 years. I know what it's like to lose a woman that you love. And one guy was scaring me. He said, I miss my wife so much. And he says, I've been away from her for 2 years. And she won't let me see the kids. They turned out to be dogs. And the whole thing was just frightening, right? So I emailed him back, and I said, you're a creep. Bug off. So then he emails me back and says, gee, and you were my big hero. And I said, you know what? Get a life. I don't want to hear about how you miss your wife for 3 years running, okay? She dumped you for a reason, Charlie. Move on. And this stalking your woman thing. I would like to say at this time, though, Maria and I are doing fine. We're great. We're married. We love each other. And thank you for your kind interest in, how things are going. But things are going. And, I've been, as I said, I've been kind of living at the beach for a little bit, overseeing the street, watching the mayor out there sweeping up in the morning and screaming at people to slow down. I even helped him out the other day. Saturday night, some guy, I suddenly hear, I'm up and I'm working. We got a little kind of a sunroom, where I can kind of look at the ocean and I'm typing and I hear this, hey, hey, you whore, slow down! And I look out the window, and some dude's running out of his house, and there's a chick taken off in a truck, and she's dragging a dog. And the guy, you whore! Well, fortunately, the dog, it was only a few feet, and this guy, she stole my dog! I don't know what this was, some argument the dude was having with a girlfriend, but he grabbed the dog, and I'm out on the street now because it's sort of expected. I got to back the mayor up, and there's the mayor like going, hey, be cool, man. And this guy's, well, call the police. She stole my dog. Turns out the dog was fine. The guy was cool. The chick was whatever. I don't know what her story was.
Maybe she hates dogs.
What? Yeah, bud, that's right. She just grabbed the... Anyway, it'll be nice to get back to the family. 1-800-449-8686. Do I have enough mail here? This is three pieces of mail, bud. I have a whole stack of mail back there.
I didn't approve of any of it. This is the stuff I've edited out.
Go get the mail. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Yes, this is Jonathan Day, and I'm here at the European Space Agency, and we are monitoring something that's quite historic and quite momentous. And this evening, we will transfer you in just a moment. We'll be going over to Reginald White, who is at the European Space Center for the first sounds from Titan, the moon of Saturn. And let's go to Reggie White now. Reggie?
Right in here, for the last 48 hours, scientists here at the European Space Agency have been monitoring sounds from the European, from the Jupiter moon called Titan. It's a very exciting moment, and when we get the sounds, we'll give them to you. Let's go over now to Barnaby Gleason with his report.
Barnaby Gleason here. For the third time, the European Space Agency has put a satellite up in the air. It's going around the world. Go back to Reggie White.
All right, now I understand that they have the sounds coming in from the European Space Agency's monitoring of the landing on Titan. Let's listen.
Baba Booey.
That's your idea of some kind of a joke, bud? Is that your idea of a joke? Don't go hee-hee-hee. You told me we had some kind of a bit.
It was a bit.
A fart sound and Baba Booey. I'm getting tired of... Kill that Lost in Space crap.
Well, you don't like Lost in Space? June Lickhart was in it.
June Lickhart? Well, great.
You know, she came to watch your show one time. She was hot.
In Lost in Space. Turn it off, man, before I freaking die with that. I can still hear music in my headphones. It's driving me nuts.
It's Mark. He's playing the close music, and not a minute too soon. The sooner we get out of this hour, the better, you retard.
We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show. Mandatory karaoke coming up. I'm going to kill somebody.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.